Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Couple of unexpected days off. We're rolling out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't catch this Wednesday's, it's over there ready for you to catch up on and read. But, you know, you should stop by there just to see what's going on whenever. You never know what's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. Well, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. But, you know, we've been described as a lot of different things here, and I still think our favorite one is just two guys talking on the phone, is how that kind of works out. But it's interesting that on, I believe it was Monday, Monday, you and I were on the Dodger, you know, bandwagon, kind of questioning what was going on and, you know, if they could kind of shake things, you know, together, you know, see what the heck their issues were. And now all of a sudden it's a gigantic national topic. And now I'm not saying, you know, that we deserve any credit for it or anything. I would just kind of like people to realize that at times you and I actually do know what the hell we're talking about. So,
well, I mean, you know, you brought up the fact that they were still waiting on Justin Turner, and surprisingly, you know, I've seen him down in the minor leagues. I forget what their class, their AAA team is, but he was down there, and I didn't get him in early enough, as Yahoo is very late on their updates, so they still had him on the DL until after the game started, and then magically he was not on the DL anymore. I was able to get him in yesterday. But I mean, even after the suffering losses to the Mariners, I mean, you've got to start to question, like, you know, what are they doing? And even if they are able to make it to the playoffs, how does their pitching compare? I mean, I've been looking at the Cubs or the Dodgers kind of like I look at the Cubs right now, with the exception that I believe that in the long run, the Cubs definitely have the better pitching staff, while may not always succeed in the bullpen. But as far as your starting rotation goes, I think their rotation matches up a hell of a lot better than the Dodgers when you look at it, because the Dodgers really only have Kershaw, who, you know, when it comes time to playoffs, if they make it, if the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are for real, I don't know that they would be able to handle a 5-game, let alone a 7-game series against the Cubs. I mean, Clayton Kershaw can't pitch 7 days in a row. Well, not 7 days in a row. He would pitch 2 days in a row, get a day off. Pitch 3 days in a row, get a day off. I don't think he can handle that. You know, and they always have a plethora of young pitching coming up, but no one seems to stick. You know, Urias, Stripling. I would love to see these guys stick, but they just don't. They almost seem better situated as maybe trying to groom them to become more of an Andrew Miller type role. And Alex Wood and Rich Hill, can you rely on them full term?
Yeah, well, they did manage a big win against the Marlins today, and I know you think, well, it's the Marlins. Can you have a big win against the Marlins? Yeah, it ended what was a 7-game losing streak for the Dodgers. So, you know, Kenta Maeda had a fantastic outing. 8 innings, just gave up 2 hits and struck out 8. Kenley Jansen did work an inning, but he did strike out 3, but he gave up 2 hits along the way. So still some bullpen issues there. Fantasy wise, just I'm hoping you didn't play Caleb Smith because he only lasted 3 innings, 2 hits, 4 runs. They were all earned. Thank you. No. One more time. All right. He walked 4 and he struck out 4. But you mentioned Justin Turner. He was 3-for-4 today. Scored a run, drove in 5, and 2 of his 4 hits were doubles. So he's definitely a prominent return for the Dodgers. Chris Taylor, you know, he's had his scuffles here. He was 2-for-4, scored a couple runs, and drew a walk. Matt Kemp was 3-for-4 with an RBI. And Kemp also, 2 of his 3 hits were doubles. And then Yasiel Puig was 2-for-3. 2 runs scored and drove in a run and actually walked twice. And one of the was a homer. So, you know, offensively, they seem to be, you know, looking, you know, getting Turner back is huge. On the Marlins side, they only had 4 hits. So I hope you had the right guys in the lineup. J.B. Shuck had a hit. Cameron Maben had a hit, who I actually do have in my lineup today because it's Thursday and it's Slim Pickens. Derek Dietrich had a hit. And then off the bench, and I'm going to draw a blank on this guy's first name, Dan. I know it's Rivera, who's been playing shortstop, Yadier Rivera. There you go. I had to look it up real quick to make sure I got him in here. He had one of the 4 hits for the Marlins. But, yeah, getting Turner back, and if he's going to hit, is a huge deal, right? I mean, even without Seager.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a big deal. He was kind of, you know, no pun intended, like a cornerstone of that team. You know, when it comes to the hitting, I think the one guy you kind of got to wonder about and hope that maybe he picks it up is Cody Bellinger. But am I just looking at, you know, but am I just looking at this era's numbers where, you know, I mean, he's only had 6 home runs. Which, you know, everyone would like everyone to have 13 by now to match Bryce Harper and Albiez. But, you know, I would think, I feel like for a first baseman, the 265, I would, you know, it's decent. I would like to see that at 285 plus. But I know that's not part of the game today. So, you know, with the way the game is played today, is his batting average considerably on the high end?
Boy, you know, I would have to think so. You know, as weird as that sounds, you know, you think at 265 that, yeah, that's a good number in today's game. So, as
yeah,
said,
you know, I don't have like a projection formula on Excel or anything like that, but. I mean, last year he was, you know, 39 home runs with 97 RBIs. Right now he's at 6 home runs and 19 RBIs. I think he can hit that RBI number, but do you think he goes that far with his home runs and crosses? Well, I think he'll definitely cross 100 hits, but do you think he goes that far again?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember. What was his number last year? Do you remember what he ended up with for home runs?
It was 39, and only 133
yeah,
games and 480 at bat. So he didn't even cross the
500 mark. He's not getting to 30 this year. Not that, you know, 28 or 29 would be a bad number. I just, you know, and I mean, he's 22. It's just his second year in baseball. You know, you're going to – have these, you know, these issues. You know, the league is starting to adjust to him. Now he has to, you know, make the adjustments himself. So, you know, we'll see how he does. I wonder if this is updated from today's game. Baseball Reference has him at 270. So I wonder if they've updated. Did he get a couple hits today or something? But either way, you know, wherever his average is at,
he actually was 0-for-3.
Oh, okay. So maybe 265 is correct, and they just haven't put in today's yet. Yeah, you know, he's got like the, not counting Justin Turner because he's only played 3 games, you know, he's got like the third highest batting average on the team out of the what you'd call regulars. So it hasn't been a fantastic offensive year for the Dodgers, you know, overall. And I think even the bigger surprise is the fact that, you know, the bullpen was lights out last year, and boy, man, these guys stink this year. Even Kenley Jansen has had his issues, you know, including today, even though he didn't give up a run, you know, just to go out and kind of struggle and give up a couple hits before getting out of an inning. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, they seem to really miss Tony Watson and Brandon Morrow. But, you know, I think you and I both know bullpens are flighty, and it's hard to repeat that success year to year.
Yeah, well, you know, you brought up Kenley Jansen, and, you know, even if things settled down for him, you know, compared to last year, he only gave up 44 hits, 11 runs. This is where the numbers get big. 11 runs, 10 earned runs, 5 home runs, and he only hit 2 batters and walked 7. You hear that? He only walked 7 batters in 16 innings. This year, he's already given up 9 runs, 7 of them earned, 3 home runs. He hasn't hit anybody yet and has already walked 6 guys. So, you know, compared to last year, with last year being pretty much lights out, you know, he's going to hit that mark. And his ERA is pretty much doubled from 1.32 to 3.57. So, you know, it's just May. We've got June, July, August, September with 4 months left. He could definitely settle down some, but, you know, like you say, you know, this is his 8th season in the league. Is everyone just kind of catching up to him? You've got enough tape on him? Velocity, where's that sit at, you know? Does he need to, you know, hire someone to control his spin rate or release point? You know, there's a million different things that could be thrown out there that, what is the real answer?
Yeah, well, you know, and then even, you know, while they get Justin Turner back, you know, they have 2 more injuries to deal with. No surprise here. Rich Hill had to leave his outing early because he had another blister. I don't know what this guy does that every time he touches a baseball, he blisters. It doesn't look like he's going to go on the DL, and they do expect him to start Saturday. But, you know, the question immediately becomes, well, how long will he be in the game? And then Tony Cingrani, another pitcher, had to go on the DL. He had left shoulder inflammation. So while they do get Turner back, they go down 2 more guys. You know, and it just seems like it's a never-ending window. And they did get Logan Forsyth back as well. So that's another plus for the infield. But, you know, I mean, you got 2 regular starters back and you got 2 more pitchers hurt. You know, I mean, the cycle just seems to continue. You know, it's just like, man, it's never-ending injury issues with this team. And, you know, it's looking like it's starting to catch up with them.
Yeah, I mean, well, that, and, you know, while you've got a few guys performing at the bat, I mean, a guy who picked his stuff up today, Yasiel Puig, but, I mean, he's sitting at a .214 batting average. You know, Logan Forsythe wasn't really the answer at second base, but, you know, he's playing. You know, the guys you're kind of really relying on to get you over the hump, so to speak, they're not performing to the level they should be performing to. So, you know, I think it's, while I don't know what the preconception was this season of bringing Matt Kemp back, but the way he's been performing, I'm sure they're glad he is back.
Yeah, humorously, you know, that was one of those things where they were looking to, I believe they were just looking to kind of dump Matt Kemp. And, you know, there was a lot of talk that he wasn't even going to get any playing time when, you know, they brought him in. You know, he was going to be like the fifth outfielder. And, man, they're lucky that they didn't do anything stupid with him, because he's really, you know, I mean, as much as they're, you know, 17-26 or whatever here, you know, as much as he could be a lifesaver there, he's really been one with, you know, the issues this team has been through. So, you know, he deserves a, you know, a big plus, but, you know, that doesn't mean much. They can still cut him tomorrow. So.
yeah, I think that'd be stupid too, though.
So, yeah, I just, like I said, I just thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, you and I had kind of mentioned it, and we covered a little of it on Monday, and all of a sudden it became a gigantic topic, and I was like, wait, these two idiots talk about it, and now everybody wants to get in on it?
So. Well, you know, and I think the other thing you got to look at, too, is they're 8 games out of first. Again, you know, I'm not going to discount or throw away what the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are doing, but we've seen this in the past. So, but you know, and like we always say, hashtag it's just a. But the Dodgers are only a half a game ahead of the last Padres.
I think the biggest difficulty is the Dodgers are going to have to play like 600 baseball to kind of get themselves back into the race. And now they've done this before, you know, so it's not impossible for them to do it. But yeah, I just, you know, more and more looking at it, I'm not sure if this is going to be their year. You know, it does just kind of look like things have caught up with them, and, you know, it might not be time here. So,
no, and, you know, you mentioned their win today after losing, I believe it was 2 straight against the Marlins. So they gave them a game up on the Marlins, or half a game. But tomorrow, you know, I'm sure this is part of the day game. They were in Miami, so throw that away. But to help with their travel to Washington, you know, they start, I believe it's a one-game series. With the Nationals, and then they come back home or go back home to take on the Rockies. So, and their next day off is next Thursday, a week from now. So, I mean, they won today. For the Dodgers, you beat a team on the third game where you should have actually probably taken all three. So you better hope that, you know, the quote momentum and kind of carry over, because now the real challenge comes up when they're, you know, at 7:05 Eastern time tomorrow night, when they're leading off against Max Scherzer, with Stripling taking the mound for them. But it'll be an interesting weekend and week for the Dodgers to see if they can, you know, kind of up the ante a little bit. You know, I did bounce, and I was looking at the standings for a minute. The way the standings go in mine, and I don't know about yours, but when I pull my phone, it goes Central, East, and West. And it's just kind of something that just kind of took me back a little bit. I'm not going to knock on the Nationals for sitting in third place behind Philly and Atlanta, but, I mean, it is kind of a big thing when I don't think you or I expected Atlanta to be doing much. I believe they've taken 2 games from the Cubs. I was out of it yesterday. I didn't pay attention. Or, you know, they took yesterday. I know I put the flag up Tuesday. So, you know, today they wrap up their series with the Cubs. With the addition of Acuna Jr. and Ozzy Albies, I mean, I can't even speak on their pitching, because I don't even remember who's on half the team except for those two guys at the moment. Do you see them kind of continuing? You know, you remember what team is for real. But are they for real?
I'm not buying them yet. You know, I think we're getting a situation, and I guess the best comparison would be kind of like the Brewers of last year, where a team is just kind of rolling and they've been able to sustain it. But, you know, you have to remember the Nationals got off to just a terrible start. And, you know, they're going to run into these series with the Braves and, you know, the Phillies who are up there as well. You know, I mean, maybe Atlanta and Philadelphia can hang around for a second wild card. But I think in the end it just shuffles out where, you know, Washington is the best team in that division. I don't think there's going to be an issue when it's all kind of said and done, and they're going to end up in the top spot. But, you know, it's a fun story, and, you know, you have to kind of start to look now. I mean, is Atlanta the next Cubs or Astros? You know, I mean, it always takes you a little bit to get up the mountain, but if they built enough in that direction, I don't think they have the veteran adds yet, and I think that's where pitching comes in. You know, because when you look at their team, I mean, who's their eighth? I mean, are you going with Julio Teheran? Do you want to run him up against guys like Scherzer or, you know, Kershaw or even a John Lester, you know, as your number one in a playoff series? I don't think that bodes very well for you. So I think eventually they kind of fade away. But, you know, maybe they hang around in the wild card spot long enough to make it exciting. And, you know, obviously it's a great learning experience. So that's what they're looking for. They seem to be on the right track.
Do you foresee next year being, or, you know, maybe even this trade deadline, them making some moves for some pitching?
You know, that's going to be where it becomes interesting. I don't think they do it this year because they've been really smart about it, you know, the way they've went about and handled this. I think it's something we see either in the off season or, you know, maybe they try to chase a big free agent. And because, you know, I mean, you know, when you kind of start looking at those pitchers, who's a difference maker that you're going to get? You know, I mean, like the Astros were able to go get Verlander. Is there going to be a Verlander on the market this year? I'm not so sure there is. So, you know, you got a name by any chance? Is there anybody you're thinking somebody might be willing to move? I off the top of my head, I can't come up with anybody.
No, and I haven't even, you know, bothered to look at next year's free agent class. So I guess maybe my question to you is a little premature. But, you know, that's one of the things that is unique to us. We're kind of on the fly.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing which could be fantastic, and I just don't see the team doing it, the first thing I'm doing if I'm the Braves and I think I'm a contender is I'm on the phone with San Francisco because I have all these young prospects and I want to know what it's going to take for me to get Madison Bumgarner. You know, he's the one guy right now I think that's not in a contender. And I know he started throwing, so he's not far away from coming back. You know, he's that top name on my list right now because I don't think the Dodgers are going to give up Kershaw. But, you know, what we didn't talk about with the Dodgers is, you know, Kershaw can opt out. Does he become a free agent and maybe the Braves target him?
Anything's possible. I mean, while they may not have a draw that would signify they have the money, you know, Atlanta's a major hub in this country to begin with, and you've got to imagine the money's there. And with a name like Kershaw tied to that organization, you can only imagine sponsorships and, you know, things of that nature would start flowing in, even, you know, even bigger.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, it, you know, it'd be interesting, you know, to keep their, you know, their eye on it. I just, you know, it's a team loaded with prospects, and you just wonder who they're going to be willing to move to, you know, try to ascend. But yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, I would gladly touch base with San Francisco, you know, right away to see what they have going on. You know, I don't know if, you know, like a guy like Cole Hamels from the Rangers is enough to light up a board. You know, if I'm looking to maybe just kind of add a little depth, I think I'm going to ask him for Ying Chin, because I don't think it takes a lot to get him away from the Marlins. So, you know, there are, you know, I mean, I think you probably would just give a lower level prospect and the Marlins would be happy to get him in. So, you know, if you're looking to just add that kind of depth, you could do that. So, yeah, there are some names out there, but there isn't that one, man, I got to land this guy. He's going to put us over the top kind of pitcher. So I just don't know if I see them doing it this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially with the free agent talk only being about Bryce Harper.
Right, yeah, you kind of forget that there are other going to be other guys on the market. So, you know, that could be kind of interesting to see. But, you know, we were, you know, talking about pitching here, Dan, and I heard something kind of interesting. Last night you actually mentioned going into it that, you know, Justin Verlander's your front runner for pitch of the week already. You know, he went 9 innings last night, only gave up 5 hits. Shut out the Angels. Yes, Mike Trout played, and, yeah, they didn't score. Walked 1, struck out 7. But interestingly, Dan, the big controversy I've been hearing, and I really wanted to punch some of these guys in the face, especially Chris Rose, because he really kind of drummed this up today. Verlander threw 118 pitches, Dan, and everybody is convinced that this is too many, and he shouldn't have went out for the 9th inning. Dan, how are we ever going to get over this BS? I can't take this anymore. It's just it's random stupidity after random stupidity. When it comes to these guys, I mean, we're talking about Verlander, who's a horse and is going to go down as one of the best pitchers in baseball. You got to figure he's probably top 25 right now. If he keeps rolling, maybe he ends up in the top 10. But yet all we want to do is take the ball away from the starter. And I just don't understand this. And then you're like, well, you know, he got in a little trouble in the 9th inning. Well, yeah, no kidding. Every pitcher gets in trouble at some point in time. Yeah, you know, and, you know, to me, that's still the problem is they don't let these guys try to work through trouble. They panic, and Joe Madden immediately runs out there and brings in a bullpen guy. You know, and then they explode, and you end up losing a game. You know, I mean, Verlander's a veteran. He knows what the hell he's doing. Why are we panicking about him throwing 118 pitches? He's going to get 4 days off.
Well, my first question to you is, why did you not tweet Chris Rose? Did I disappear?
No, you're here because it was I saw the tape delayed show, not the live one, and they don't respond to tape delayed tweets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. He might check his Twitter later. That's how I got in the little Twitter beef with the entire city of Cleveland a few years back. but then again, I don't know if that was on account of the Indians responding to my tweet and not so much Chris Rose. But, you know, number two, I think it's super funny that this was brought up. Again, you know, one of the things that the talking heads don't take into consideration our talk show host is the fact that they don't watch a lot of these games. You know, they're just looking at numbers on a piece of paper. you know, if I'm looking to get information on a pitcher, and I'm learning this as, you know, we've gone along with this show, and hopefully no one steals my secret, which is, you know, it's going to blow your mind away, Big Jack. I mean, you already know what my secret is, but just going to blow everyone's mind away on where you would want to learn about a particular player on a particular team that doesn't involve, you know, the actual, you know, staff. And that would be the announcers, more so the radio. I rely a little bit more on better feedback, more involvement from the radio announcers than I do the TV guys, because the TV guys, unfortunately, part of their job is promotion. So they're not there to just, they're not really there to call games as much as they are to promote the team. So if you want to learn more about baseball and the game and the team, you listen to the radio broadcast and you'll get a hell of a lot more out of it than you would any of the TV broadcasts. But going to that point, you know, this is something we actually talked about last week or the week prior, or no, it was actually last week when the White Sox were playing the Pirates. And I was, you know, at the gym late at night working out, listening to a really late White Sox Pirates game in Pittsburgh. I don't know why the hell it was going so late, or maybe it was, no, it was in Pittsburgh, rain delays or whatever. And one of the biggest things that, you know, the White Sox announcers got to talking on was, you know, the difference between a young guy, pretty much this era of baseball and what they're taught, not, you know, what they've come up on their own, and a veteran guy who kind of was brought up in the older era, you know, would you call it more on the cusp, a guy like Justin Verlander, who's going to come into a game and his velocity and his speed is just going to continuously get stronger, so that when he does come around to that, you know, the batting order a third time, they're not ready for his stuff because he's changing it. He's throwing a little bit harder. He's putting a little bit more gas in there. Essentially, you know, and I think we can attest to this because the same logic goes into pro wrestling. You're not throwing everything out there in the first 2 minutes. You're pacing yourself. You're not winding yourself so that you can't go 9 innings and throw 118 pitches. You know, again, the whole pitch count thing is such coming, you know, what is there a better way than something you would say coming out of a jackass's mouth? We've talked about this before. Before a pitcher throws his game, you want to talk about his pitches. A pitcher's in the outfield for what it seems like forever, and he's throwing pitch arm after throwing, and he gets farther and farther to where his catcher is at the foul line, and he's practically in center field, and he's throwing. He's throwing the ball at least 100 times. Before the game starts, at 10, 15, in between every inning. So you want to keep on this pitch count crap, shut the hell up, because essentially – you want to talk pitches. We're talking about rotations of the arm, the ball being released out of his fingers. We're looking at over 200-300 times this day. So you're telling me going up to 118 is going to make that big of a difference? And this is coming from guys who've been around the game.
Looking at the box score, one of the things that oddly didn't come up while they were talking about this game last night was I mentioned that Verlander struck out 7 guys last night. 3 of them were Shohei Ohtani. He was 0 for 4 with 3 Ks. Wow. But I didn't hear that or see that in any of the highlights. So maybe they kind of buried that a little because they didn't want to eat it because they've already given him so many awards. I don't know the reasoning behind that. And Mike Trout did go 0 for 4. Humorously, if you're not following Dan on Twitter, at Dan Z-Man with 3 E's, he sent out a tweet mentioning that since him and I have been using Harper and Trout, and I think I may have started a day before him, going back to May 8th on FanDuel Home Run Derby, neither guy has homered for us. So Dan is going on 9 days. I believe I'm going on 10. Harper is unavailable tonight. The Nationals aren't playing, but Trout is. Trouty's right there in my lineup again. So we'll see if he can give me a 10th day of being homerless. So that's it's quite humorous that, you know, like Dan mentioned, I think Bryce Harper's leading the National League in home runs, 13. Or is he leading baseball in home runs? And he did hit one Sunday night when, again, he wasn't available to use in home run derby. But, yeah, it's just kind of funny that since Dan and I have been plugging guys in our lineup, that neither – and Dan has even jinxed Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts hasn't homer either for Dan. I've been rotating some different guys and actually got one out of C.J. Cron the other day. But yeah, we're just killing these guys, Dan.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy tied with Bryce Harper is Ozzy Albies, who really looks like a leadoff hitter, not like Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. So I find that interesting. But anytime I plug him in, on the off chance that, you know, Mookie, Trout, or Harper are not available, Ozzy doesn't hit a home run for me. So.
Yeah, I think tonight, I went with Trout, and then I decided I'm going J.D. Martinez and Brandon Belt. I'm a little concerned about the Brandon Belt choice after the stuff he said about the umpires last night. I'm a little concerned that that's going to blow up in my face, but I think I'm going to stick with it, so... We'll have to see how that goes. And now, in case you didn't hear it, Belt got rung up last night on, you know, I think I would have called it a borderline pitch. I believe it was a ball. And, you know, pitch tracks did show that it was a ball. It was a little bit outside. Again, I don't know how accurate this stuff is. But he went on to mention how the umpire had said that he had places to be and wanted to get the game over with, or wanted to speed the game up, I guess was the term he Belt used, something to that effect. So, you know, not the most positive thing. And, you know, now umps have said this before. It's came out multiple times, you know, here and there. And I mean, of course, not only does, you know, not only do the umps want the game to be sped up, but the commissioner wants the game to be sped up as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not a first here, but I can understand, you know, I can understand, you know, he's a little upset, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those issues there where you don't want to, you know, I don't know, make it seem like, you know, you're one-sided, I guess, so to speak, or, you know, however you kind of look at it. But yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. And if there's a fine coming Brandon Belt's way, I don't think they would suspend him. But you got to think possibly he'll get a fine. I don't know. But yeah, it was definitely some interesting comments, and I'm sure, you know, the baseball umpire union isn't going to like it. And I'm sure Major League Baseball probably didn't like it either. So we'll have to kind of follow along and see what goes on. But while Dan and I weren't here yesterday, I did manage, believe it or not, to win $3 last night. I had a Chris Sale set up lineup. So here's what I rolled out tonight. And I have some concerns here, but you know, that's how it goes. You know, I'm going to go with David Price, mostly because he's pitching against the Orioles, and I just don't think they're a very good team. He cost me $7,400, so he actually looks like a pretty good value. If you can get a good outing out of him, that's going to be the key there. I had to make sure all my guys were in before I kept talking here. The first base catcher slot, I went with Matt Olson of the A's. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. Only cost me $2,900. At second base, I probably ruined Dan's guy if he has him, because I have Ozzy Albies playing second. He did cost me $4,700. He's leading off for the Braves tonight. Third base, I actually stayed in that game. The Braves are playing the Cubs. I have Chris Bryant, who's hitting third for them. He cost me $4,900. My shortstop is Gene Segura of the Mariners. He's hitting second for them. Cost me $4,000. And now I have a really, what you would call a value outfield today. I went with some guys who are supposed to be really good values. I'm hoping this kind of works out for me. I start off with Sinshu Chu of the Rangers. He's hitting second for them. Only cost me $3,000. Next, I go to Matt Joyce of the A's. He's hitting second in the local lineup. Only cost me $2,600. And then my last outfielder is Curtis Granderson of the Blue Jays. $2,500. He's leading off. So you can see him doing with some really affordable outfielders. And then I round my lineup off. My utility guy is Mike Zunino of the Mariners. Hitting sixth for them cost me $2,800. So here you go. My recap is David Price is my pitcher. I got Matt Olson as my catcher, first baseman. Ozzie Albies at second. Chris Bryant at third. Gene Segura at short. My outfield is Sinshu Chu, Matt Joyce, and Curtis Granderson. And my utility guy is Mike Zunino. So there you go. We'll see how it works out.
75 points.
Don't say that. I won $3 last night. Don't jinx me. No.
You know, the one guy you threw in there that I thought was an interesting pick was Curtis Granderson. I returned to New York last night and didn't do a whole lot, or was that the day before? Because I was watching all the replays, and then I realized afterwards that was a day off. So I don't know what I was watching. So, I mean, that'll be interesting. Unless it was only a two-game series with the Blue Jays. Are the Blue Jays still facing the Mets tonight?
Give me a second here, and I can tell you. I thought they were. I saw who they were playing, and then I kind of brain cramped there. Let me bing the schedule, and we will see what is actually going on for tonight. So, you know, just kind of those fun things we got. No, actually, Toronto has returned home to play Oakland tonight.
Oh.
So. But yeah, real quick, here's what we got going on. The Padres are at the Pirates. It's Eric Lawler and Chad Kuhl are the starters. The A's are at the Blue Jays, like I mentioned. Andrew Triggs against Aaron Sanchez. The Orioles at the Red Sox. Kevin Gausman against David Price. The Phillies are at the Cardinals. That's actually on the Mickey Mouse Network app if you want to watch that. Dance guy Vince Velasquez against Luke Weaver. The Cubs are at Atlanta. John Lester against Max Fried. The Rangers at the White Sox, Doug Fister and James Shields start there. The Rays at the Angels, Chris Archer against Tyler Skaggs in that game. The Tigers at the Mariners, Matthew Boyd against Marco Gonzalez. And the night wraps up with the Rockies at the Giants, Chad Bettis for the Rockies, and the Shark tonight, Dan, Jeff Samardzija going for the Giants. So there you go. What matchup did you like best there?
Maybe, you know, I kind of want to go with your take on, you know, why you went with David Price. I think that's probably one of the better matchups for at least pitching wise.
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of rolling with it because I don't have a lot of confidence in the Orioles. And no. I really think, you know, you kind of look at it and you go, yeah, you kind of check out the game and you're like, okay, well, this could happen, that can happen. When I look at that game, I really think Price is the best pitcher to get a win. So, you know, I would like to, I think it's 6 points on FanDuel for a win. And I'm just kind of hoping if he can get a win, everything else kind of pieces together. You know, I'm figuring if I can get 6 innings and 6 strikeouts and a W, you know, I should be able to put together decent numbers to, you know, get my money back or make a couple bucks. Of course, you know, now that I'm saying that, this will be the night the Orioles go out and score double-digit runs and make me look like an ass, but that happens quite a bit in fantasy to me, so I'm used to it. So we'll have to we'll have to see, but yeah, it's just you know, one of those things where it's really, I'm playing the pitcher against just the team I have the least confidence in tonight.
You know, and one of the things, like, the other matchup I like is the Rockies-Giants. But in the same token, it's so hit or miss with the Giants lately. I mean, they're playing 500 ball. You would think they'd have a little bit bigger of a boost with the acquisitions they made. But at the same time, I think the hard part with the Shark is, while he may strike out 12, 13, 14 guys, he also may give up 3 two-run homers. You know, or something in that realm. So that's where the issue comes in. And you almost wonder if he was better suited for an American League team. I think it could have worked with the Sox, but when he was with the Sox, they just decided they really didn't have any offense to back his game up.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely a difficult pitcher to kind of get a handle on, just because you don't, you know, you almost don't know what kind of night he's going to do. You know you're going to get strikeouts, but are you, you know, what else are you going to get out of him? You know, it could be, you know, a myriad of things. Then, I mean, is he only going to go 5 innings? You know, I mean, he could get 7 or 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. That wouldn't be a surprise at all. But, you know, then how many runs does he give up? So he's definitely a difficult pitcher to kind of wrap your head around. Especially for daily fantasy, not only yearly fantasy, but daily fantasy. You know, and I mean, he's a guy, I mean, even though they're playing Colorado, you know, if he went out and pitched 7 scoreless and struck out 11, I wouldn't be surprised. But in return, he could also go, you know, pitch 4, strike out 4, and give up 8 runs, and that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes him, I think, probably of, I don't want to say of all pitchers, but definitely when you're looking at daily fantasy, it makes he's a hard sell.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, you're like, man, you know, those strikeouts would be so nice to have and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And then you're like, yeah, but what if he just explodes? You know, and the Rockies are a pretty good hitting team, so that, you know, that could be possible. You know, I mean, it is a pretty, you know, it's a good series for, you know, the middle of May here. I mean, it's the second and third place teams in the West. You know, nobody wants to get too far behind. So, you know, I mean, it could be a big deal, but I know, you know, Chad Bettis has pitched pretty well for the Rockies. You know, those things make it, you know, you start adding it all up, it gets kind of tough, but, you know, it hopefully it'll be a good game.
Sure, it'll be a good game. Just, you know, what perspective are you looking at? Good game.
Well, you know, I mean, just, you know, not a blowout. You know, I always hate like a 10-1 game or something like that. You know, just a nice, you know, if it's 10-9 or something like that, at least it's tightly contested. So. You know, and I know, you know, something we didn't get to talk about a couple of days ago, Dan, how big of a blow do you think, you know, AJ Pollock being hurt again for the Diamondbacks is going to be? You know, he was really their best player. You know, Paul Goldschmidt has really struggled out of the gate, and, you know, he's kind of been the guy. You know, now he's got the thumb. They're saying, you know, I think it's 6 to 8 weeks. You know, I don't know. How do you think they hang around?
I think it's a pretty big blow. I mean, he seemed to have been kind of taken off this year. While Goldschmidt always seems to stay consistent, he never seems to completely break out. You know, and that's one of the things that they want to stay at the top. They need Pollock.
Yeah, Pollock was he was their best hitter. He was hitting .293. He was leading the team in home runs and RBIs, 11 homers, 33 RBIs. So they, you know, they lost quite a bit. Not to mention Jake Lamb is still hurt. I know he's getting close to returning. But yeah, Paul Goldschmidt's really scuffling a little bit here. He's hitting .208. I don't expect him to stay there. I don't think anybody does. But just, you know, kind of a rough start. You know, they've played well. You know, they're 25-18. You know, they've really looked like a contender early on here, but man, you gotta wonder, you know, how big of an effect this has, or, you know, do they need pitching to step up some more where they've had some injuries? I don't know if you could ask any more out of the starters, can you?
It's so hard to ask more out of starters these days. So, you know, and it's not even asking more out of the starters. It's asking more out of the management coaching for your starters. But I do think, you know, considerably having Robbie Ray, Zach Godley, Zach Greinke is a big help for them and might help maintain them. But they, you know, they need Pollock in that lineup if they're going to really kind of continue to move on. And, you know, funny thing about Jake Lamb, I drafted Justin Turner in our yearly fantasy league, knowing full well that I was putting him on the DL for so many said weeks. And to compensate for that, I figured, well, let me go after another third baseman in the West, that being Jake Lamb. And he got hurt pretty quickly. So my two starting third basemen were both on the DL up until, yesterday. So, but, you know, I mean, it's one of those things like with the Dodgers situation, they just need their guys to remain healthy. Fortunately for them, from, you know, some of the highlights I've seen, you know, Nick Ahmed has kind of, well, he's over the past, was it 3 or 4 seasons? I can't remember now. He's definitely not turned into or advanced to the quality of, say, Sir Didi has, but he's definitely filling that role and contributing. I forget who their second baseman is, but, you know, I mean, the guys on the field are, you know, they're getting in there, and I think the experience of just being in the game over the last couple of years is really building on that team. And, you know, if they – I don't – who's to say they really need another pitcher, but, you know, I think a fourth pitcher would solidify them, just give them a little bit stronger of a maybe a run. But, like I said, they need the guys that they have, you know, especially A.J. Pollock to come back and, you know, be healthy and just kind of continue to hit and to play well. It's kind of cliche, take it one day at a time.
They did report that Robbie Ray is throwing from 90 feet off flat ground now, and it looks like there's a chance he'll be back by the end of the month. So that's, you know, that's a big plus for them. You know, and it's kind of weird when you – you know, you look at Pollock, you know, it's a free agent season for him, but it's so, you know, I want to say not a surprise that he's injured again. You know, he played in 112 games last year, which was huge for him. 2016, he played in just 12. So this will be the third year in a row we've missed a significant amount of time due to injury. You know, he's 30 years old. I'm sure he's interested on going on the free agent market and, you know, getting a, you know, a big time, you know, $200 or $300 million contract. I'm just kidding there. But, you know, I'm sure he's looking to make, you know, $18 to $20 million a year. Dan, if you're a general manager in the market for a center fielder, are you dropping that kind of money on an injury prone, really good player when he's healthy? You know, I mean, he's a, you know, a dual threat guy, you know, 20 homers, 20 steals, but can you pay a guy $20 million to get, say, 115 games out of him?
No, I mean, to be honest, if, depending on the team and who's going to be spending that money and what's in your farm system, over A.J. Pollock, I think I'd be calling the Cubs. Because with the way they value or seemingly value or, yeah, Almora, I think you can get him on the cheap.
Yeah, poor
over,
guy.
You know,
like they don't want to get
A.J. Pollock.
I think they just want to torture him. So, you know, I really do believe that that's just their plan, is to, you know, just kill poor Alberto Almora and just never give him playing time. I don't know why that is. So.
But when he's,
you know,
in,
sure they'll say that,
you know, granted.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he missed a diving catch yesterday, so that's probably the end of it for now.
We'll say he can't hit right-handed pitching, and that's why he's on the bench. So, you know, that's just kind of how things go, I guess. But, I just don't know. And obviously, I know, you know, free agency is a long way away, so it's not like it's a pressing matter. But, boy, man, you know, with these kind of contracts, yeah, you just wonder. I mean, yeah, hey, here you go. Take all this money from me, and then we'll hope that you stay healthy. I don't know. That just seems rough for me. But you know, I know that's what that's what
the game does.
Well,
yeah, but you know, when you look at it, and we talk about a guy who used to be on that team, and that was last year. You know, came from the Tigers. You know, I still think part of a name has, you know, there's a drawing power. And in order to get even more money, I think you have to have that drawing power. And while it may be there in Arizona, and, you know, the name value in some of the Western Division teams, mainly the NL, I don't know if his name has any kind of significant drawing power in, you know, this half, the other side of the Mississippi. Or, you know, basically a central, you know, Eastern Division. So I don't know if his name would help garner him $20 million, of course, unless he's represented by Scott Boras. And then all likelihood he could turn down a qualifying offer only to be re-signed by the Arizona Diamondbacks for $5 million less than that qualifying offer.
You know, it'll be interesting because, you know, I know Arizona doesn't normally – you know, bring these guys back, but he is kind of a franchise guy there. You know, him and Goldschmidt were kind of the guys. So we'll have to see if, you know, when he comes back, if he can still produce. I mean, it's a left thumb, so just odd that he seems to get involved.
Sam Radio now.